By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani channel begin this morning by listening to the beautiful, glorious Qur'an. My dear viewers, remember that whilst the Qur'an is being recited, we must give our full attention to the recitation of the Qur'an. It does come along with the Urdu translation. Inshallah, the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِّلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ
اور دنیا کی زندگی نہیں مگر کھیل کود اور بے شک پچھلا گھر بھلا ان کے لیے جو ڈرتے ہیں
أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ
تو کیا تمہیں سمجھ نہیں
قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ
ہمیں معلوم ہے کہ تمہیں رنج دیتی ہے وہ بات جو یہ کہہ رہے ہیں تو وہ تمہیں نہیں جھٹلاتے بلکہ ظالم اللہ کی آیتوں سے انکار کرتے ہیں
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا
اور تم سے پہلے رسول جھٹلائے گئے تو انہوں نے صبر کیا اس جھٹلانے اور ایذائیں پانے پر یہاں تک کہ انہیں ہماری مدد آئی
وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَئِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
اور اللہ کی باتیں بدلنے والا کوئی نہیں اور تمہارے پاس رسولوں کی خبریں آ ہی چکی ہیں
وَإِن كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكَ إِعْرَاضُهُمْ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَبْتَغِيَ نَفَقًا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ سُلَّمًا فِي السَّمَاءِ فَتَأْتِيَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ
اور اگر ان کا منہ پھیرنا تم پر شاق گزرا ہے تو اگر تم سے ہو سکے تو زمین میں کوئی سرنگ تلاش کر لو یا آسمان میں زینہ پھر ان کے لیے نشانی لے آؤ
وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ
اور اللہ چاہتا تو انہیں ہدایت پر اکٹھا کر دیتا تو اے سننے والے تو ہرگز نادان نہ بن
انما يستجيب الذين يسمعون
مانتے تو وہی ہیں جو سنتے ہیں
والموتى يبعثهم الله ثم اليه يرجعون
اور ان مردہ دلوں کو اللہ اٹھائے گا پھر اس کی طرف ہانکے جائیں گے
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ
اور بولے ان پر کوئی نشانی کیوں نہ اتری ان کے رب کی طرف سے
قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةٌ ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
تم فرماؤ کہ اللہ قادر ہے کہ کوئی نشانی اتارے لیکن ان میں بہت نرے جاہل ہیں.
وما من دابة في الأرض ولا طائر يطير بجناحيه إلا أمم أمثالكم.
اور نہیں کوئی زمین میں چلنے والا اور نہ کوئی پرند کہ اپنے پروں اڑتا ہے مگر تم جیسی امتیں.
ما فرطنا فی الکتاب من شیء ثم الی ربہم یحشرون.
ہم نے اس کتاب میں کچھ اٹھا نہ رکھا پھر اپنے رب کی طرف اٹھائے جائیں گے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Now my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we have listened to the beautiful recitation of the Quran. We also, inshallah, azzajal, have our new topic. What the topic is, you'll have to stick with us to find out. But my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, after having listened to the glorious Quran, we listened to, as usual, always, the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Madina, مدینہ میری الفت مدینے سے یوں ہی نہیں، میرے آقا کا روزہ مدینے میں ہے. میں مدینے کی جانب نہ کیسے کھینچوں، میرا دین اور دنیا شکستہ ہے میرا تو کیا غم، دل شکستہ ہے میرا تو کیا غم، اس میں رہتے ہیں شاہ دو عالم، اس میں رہتے ہیں شاہ دو عالم، جب سے مہماں ہوئے ہیں وہ دل میں، جب سے مہماں ہوئے ہیں وہ دل میں، دل میرا بن گیا ہے مدینہ، دل میرا بن گیا ہے مدینہ.
میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد، میرے ہونٹوں پہ ذکر مدینہ، تاجدار حرم کے کرم سے آ گیا زندگی کا قرینہ. میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد،
میں غلام غلامان احمد، میں غلام غلامان میں سگے آستان محمد، میں سگے آستان محمد، قابل فخر ہے موت میری، قابل فخر ہے موت میری، قابل رشک ہے میرا جینا، قابل رشک ہے میرا جینا،
میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد، میرے ہونٹوں کے ذکر مدینہ، تاجدار حرم کے کرم سے آ گیا زندگی کا قرینہ، میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد،
ہر خطا پر میری چشم پوشی، ہر خطا پر میری چشم پوشی، ہر طلب پر عطاؤں کی بارش، ہر طلب پر عطاؤں کی بارش، مجھ گناہگار پر کس قدر ہے، مجھ گناہگار پر کس قدر ہے، مہرباں تاجدار مدینہ، مہرباں تاجدار مدینہ،
میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد، میرے ہونٹوں کے ذکر مدینہ، تاجدار حرم کے کرم سے آ گیا زندگی کا قرینہ، میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد،
مجھ کو طوفاں کی موجوں کا کیا ڈر، مجھ کو طوفاں کی موجوں کا کیا ڈر، وہ گزر جائے گا رخ بدل کر، وہ گزر جائے گا رخ بدل کر، نہ خدا ہے میرے جب محمد، نہ خدا ہے میرے جب محمد، کیسے ڈوبے گا میرا سفینہ، کیسے ڈوبے گا میرا سفینہ،
میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد، میرے ہونٹوں کے ذکر مدینہ، تاجدار حرم کے کرم سے آ گیا زندگی کا قرینہ، میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد،
چل مدینے کو چل غم کے مارے، چل مدینے کو چل غم کے مارے، زندگی کو ملیں گے سہارے، زندگی کو ملیں گے سہارے، آ گیا ہے حرم سے بلاوا، آ گیا ہے حرم سے بلاوا، کچھ کرتے ہیں سوئے مدینہ، کچھ کرتے ہیں سوئے مدینہ،
میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد، میرے ہونٹوں کے ذکر مدینہ، تاجدار حرم کے کرم سے آ گیا زندگی کا قرینہ، میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد،
دولت عشق سے دل غنی ہے، دولت عشق سے دل غنی ہے، میری قسمت ہے رشک سکندر، میری قسمت ہے رشک سکندر، مدحت مصطفیٰ کی بدولت، مدحت مصطفیٰ کی بدولت، مل گیا ہے مجھے یہ خزینہ، مل گیا ہے مجھے یہ خزینہ،
میرے دل میں ہے یاد محمد، میرے ہونٹوں پہ ذکر مدینہ، تاجدار حرم کے کرم سے آ گیا زندگی کا قرین،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, our guest mashallah is with us today. He's joined us. Who is it? Yes, it's our respected Harun Rashid by mashallah, who had also given us time yesterday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Today is a beautiful topic, a very important topic, family unity. Now, if you were to, let's just say, but leaving it on you anyway, Harumba, you're going to direct it. What do we mean by family?
There are different interpretations of family. You can, when one looks at it in the normal context, you talk about your immediate family, your partner, your children, your parents, kind of that's family. Then the wider family, your brothers, sisters, their children. Then your wider family, your aunties, your uncles. And it gets bigger. And then the Muslim Ummah is a family as well. So there's the bigger picture as well. So when you said family unity, it has kind of all sorts of connotations to it and permutations to it, because you can think about the bigger Islamic society, the Islamic Brotherhood, as you say. Family units were very, very important. And there's the famous Ayah Mubarakah of the glorious Quran, which Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhu Alayhi time and time quotes, and which basically says that save yourself and your family from the fire of hell, whose fuel is men and stones. And so in that context, we are all duty bound to help our family on the right path. Now, family unity is a major problem in today's society. And there is a reason for that. And a lot of people think, why is my family disjointed? Why is my family breaking up? Why are my children going off at tangents? And, you know, gardan mahol, as they say, is all over the place. And the answer to that is very, very simple, actually. Although we overcomplicate matters, I like to keep things very simple. You know, the way that your family operates is a system. Let me give you an example. You go to the shop, you buy a machine.
Right.
And it's to benefit you. So you come back, you plug it in, you fiddle around with it, and you try everything, and you can't get it to work. You electrocute yourself, you burn yourself, you think, yeah, how do I get this to work? And eventually you give up and you sit back and you think, hang on a minute, the box it came in, there was a manual there. So then you check out the manual, you read it, and you say, oh my God, this is so easy. So you follow the manual and then you've got it working and you're benefiting from it. Now, life needs to be operated in a certain procedure, it has to be lived in a certain way. Now, if I get my family etiquettes and the way to run my family from the society I live in Pakistan is different, in India is different, Malaysia is different, Africa is different, Canada is different, I will be adopting different things. And those methods are designed by other societies on their understanding of moral standards, etiquettes, etc.
Yes.
Right? So it won't work in my household. So in society, if the kids get up in the morning and shout at the parents and watch songs and dance and da-da-da-da-da, if I copy that, I can't have family unity. And that's why in these countries where they make up their own standards, things fall apart. Now, family unity actually will only properly work if you do it in the prescribed manner. And the prescribed and universal manner from the time that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us till the day of judgment is in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. This is what we're missing. What we do is we try to bring up our kids according to the society we live in, according to my intellect, my understanding. We try to form an environment in the house according to what I think is an ideal, and that backfires. This is why the kids go off at tangents. This is why the machuki ummi or the husband goes off at tangents and everything else. Why? Because we're taking the base and the foundation for our family unity as others, rather than the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the teachings of the beloved Hadith Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, let me explain that in more detail. What happens is this. If you adopt the ways of the society you live in, it can be any society, I'm not criticizing any particular one, but whichever you do, it will have flaws in it. But if you base your family upon the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, you will get proper family unity. Now, it is incumbent upon us to actually bring up our children in such a way, bring our family environment in such a way that you save them. The Quran commands us, save yourself and your families from the fire of hell, whose fuel is men and stones. Now, how do we establish that environment and how do we practice family unity? Let me start with simple things. If your children get up in the morning and they pray Salah, the entire family gets up, that is family unity. A lot of people say, well, you know, we want to spend time as a family together. Yeah? Well, the first thing is, you know, the men of the house, wake your son up, 10, 11, 12-year-old, Putar, we're going to masjid for Fajr. That's your time with your child. Putar, there's a Stais Mirat, it's the Shabi Qadr, it's this. We're going to the masjid, we're going to sit with the Mef, we're going to listen to the Bayan, we're going to go to the Thursday Istimaz of Dawat Islami. That's your bonding time. What we think is, to have bonding time with our children, right, we need to go to the pictures.
Okay.
We need to go take them to
the pictures. Some people wouldn't understand that, Harun Bhai.
To the cinema.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to go to the bowling alley or something like that. This is the concept that us Muslims have now. And the problem is that you are teaching your children the wrong thing. That's not going to bring barakat and unity to your family.
Okay, just a question there, Harun Bhai. Because sometimes, yes, okay, you're saying, okay, the father takes, let's just say the son, for example, to the masjid. This is their bonding time. Or to go listen to Ibayan. But if this is the only time and it's just this, I don't think he's saying it's just this, is it? Because then they're not really spending time together. It's just, okay, now go here, okay, now go there. It's just ordering, do this, do that, isn't it?
It's one of the things. You see, it's about creating an environment. Let's take the father-son relationship, because this is one of the biggest problems in this today's day and age, because the father and son can't bond. Now, what we try to do is we try to impose on our children. And, you know, we have our values are mixed up as well. Let me give you an example. Bachcha, if he is running around, say 10-year-old, and he knocks a glass off and smashes it, that's it. We'll shout at him, we'll scream at him, we'll say this, that, and the other, yeah? And we'll all hell will break loose in the house, yeah? Or he does something minor wrong. But if he misses his salah, we won't flinch an eyelid.
Yes.
There's the problem. You know, and the problem is this. When he does something that you dislike or he disobeys you, you give him the third degree. But when he's disobeying Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you turn a blind eye.
So what does third degree mean? Forgive?
No, third degree means basically you torture him.
The opposite, sorry.
Yeah, it's the opposite. You torture him. So basically, when it's a worldly matter, say your child scratched your car accidentally with the bike. You would blow your top, yeah? Yeah. And you say, how dare you, you know, it's the expensive, you've done this, you've done that. And you say you're grounded, not giving you roti, not doing this, not doing that. How dare you get into your room, yeah? But the same child misses his salah. Have you ever done that? Therein lies your problem. Because what you're doing is setting your own standards. And you're saying, disobey me, how dare you? Disobey Allah and his Habib till it's acceptable. And there is where your family unity and your bonding go out to the window. Now, in an Islamic environment, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the father-son bond is that you go to the masjid with your children. When they're reading the Quran, you listen to them, you teach them. Let me give you an example. In Islamic manners of eating, there are many, many narrations and hadith and barakah in relation to the barakat and blessings that descend on a family when they sit down and eat together.
Right.
They sit down, read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, read the du'as for eating. They sit down as a family. The blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla descends upon them. Now today, where are we? You know, one person takes the plate upstairs into the room, the other sat in front of the television, mum and dad are sat in the kitchen eating, and there's no barakat within the family. Things like this cause disunity. So if you want unity within the family, follow the way that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed you. Sit down as a family and eat. And I insist on it. You know, even my 7-year-old.
Do you always, or is it just in Ramadan, Shreem?
All the way. I never let anybody take any food upstairs. I never let anybody sit in front of the television and eat. Occasionally, they might do it when I'm not at home. But I make sure when we sit down at the dining table, everybody's there. Even my 7-year-old, he tries. You know, something's on the television or something, yeah? He'll try. I said, no, I insist. And if he says, I'm not eating, I said, well, even if you're not eating, you're going to sit here with us.
Right.
And so this is what we do. And as a family, we'll sit down and eat. And sometimes with the kids, yeah, what happens is this.
Well, but whilst you're young, it's not so difficult to do that, is it?
No, mine argue as well, if that's what you mean, yeah?
No, but I mean, when they get older, that's when it becomes more difficult, doesn't it? So do you have, you're in a separate family, your kids...
It won't, because I'll tell you, my parents did the same.
Okay,
yeah?
Go on.
And nobody, you know, in our household, my dad didn't allow it. My dad was very straight, mashallah, you know, Allah Azzawajal, give them good health.
Long.
And but they were brilliant, because, you know, if it was right, it was right, if it was wrong, it was wrong, yeah? And if you did wrong, you were in trouble. If you did right, fine. And if you did well, dad would treat you. And there's this fine line. So there's no concept of, you know, taking your food to your room or anything like that. We sit down, we eat as a family. And that was, so that kind of became instilled in us. And we're doing that now. Now, you say as they get older, the problem is this. You know, because we've been teaching them this since 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 now. Yeah. Mm. We carry on for another few years. It becomes ingrained. Nobody now in our household says, I'm taking my plate into my bedroom, because it doesn't happen.
Mm.
This is the thing. So when you teach them from an early age, now this brings the family together. It gives you the barakat,
yes,
and the
brilliant
blessings of a family, and it gives you family unity. What you've got to do is, we expect family unity from our disjointed life. So we'll never see our children. We'll never spend time with them. We'll never, you know, do the Islamic stuff with them. And then we expect unity. It doesn't happen.
Okay, so another question. You eat together, the entire family. Do you talk, or is it better
yes
to remain silent?
No, we talk. We talk, alhamdulillah. And what happens is, sometimes the children will argue. And a lot of people, to get away from that, no, I don't do that. I deal with it head on. Don't talk about contentious issues, and don't call, because, you know, my kids are 11 and 13.
11 and 13, what contentious issues would this be?
They just start, brother and sister, you know, brother and sisters argue at that age, yeah? So they'll just start arguing over petty stuff. And when I'm there, they know that, A, I won't let them get up, and B, I won't let them argue. So first of all, I'll explain.
So you just tell them, just be quiet, not argue.
No. I just said, change the subject. Let's talk about something else.
Okay.
So we talk about something that's neutral, yeah, and rather than that. And if they insist, I still won't let them get up. I won't give them the easy way. I'll just say, okay, if you're going to argue, be quiet, carry on eating your food, and then we'll carry on talking, and they'll just be listening. But usually what happens is, if you change the subject,
okay,
and they realize now that they can't get away with it. The problem with today's society is, we give that our children too much freedom. We adopt our standards from the society we live in, rather than the Quranic teachings and the teachings of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So dealing with the immediate family, there are these things. And if you do them, you will watch, you will see your family unity change. Go to the masjid with your children, with your sons, yeah? Make sure that your bachuki goes to the sisters' ijtimaas, or attends the sisters' ijtimaas with your daughters. Watch the unity. Then at home, sit and eat as a family. The other thing is this. If we want our bonding and our family unity between our bachuki or our husband, you know, our partner, and our children, but sometimes, within that thought process, we eliminate our parents.
Mm.
We think they're not part of the family, immediate family.
Yes, brilliant.
That thought is from the shaitan.
Yes.
Because when you were young, you were proud to be part of their family unit.
Mm.
Now that they're older and they need you, how dare you isolate them and leave them? So say, for example, a lot of people, they go on holiday with their family and they leave their parents at home.
Right.
How must the parents feel, yeah? That, you know, he's married now, he's got kids, and he's going off with his family, and there's nobody to take us. And when you were young, your parents didn't leave you anywhere. They spend thousands on you. So this is where it's important. The next thing to consider is if you want family unity and that tranquility, you've got to make sure that in your family unit, mentally, your parents are part of it. And this is why, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and again, I don't like using examples, but what I do is when I go on Umrah, I take my parents with me. My parents have always been with me. And when I go on holiday as well, when I take my kids, I take my parents with me. They're there. And we went to Morocco a few years ago, and my Qibla Walidsa was in Pakistan, and we called them back and they wouldn't come. They said they were busy. So we took Amiji with us, and I tell you what, it was amazing. We had the trip of our lifetime.
It's beautiful, Alhamdulillah.
We did all the ziyarats. So we went to Hazrat Sheikh Juzuli Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Qadi Iyad Rahmatullah Alayhi. We went to different places. We went to the Grand Mosque in Casablanca as well. And you know the beauty of that trip was, because I've been, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala na karama, you know, I've got a good job. So I usually do go away a few times a year outside COVID. But I tell you what, that trip with my Amiji was one of those that I'm going to remember for a long time. It was brilliant. Wow. Honestly, Mum was there all the time, all the way through. And I wouldn't have enjoyed myself so much if I hadn't had them there. Mm. And I was like, I came back and I said, Dad, you need to be there. So this is what...
Brilliant. Just a quick question there, Harun Bhai. Was this whilst you were young, you used to take them too?
Oh, we're doing that. I go on Umrah.
That's fine. It's understandable now. What about when you were young and newly married?
Even
some people think, you know, we're newly married, we want some, you know, time to ourselves. Look, we do have that time with our parents too.
I'm fortunate in that, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Nalayan Park, together by the blessings of the dust of the Nalayan Park and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've got a good job. So I usually, outside COVID, I go away a few times a year. Mm. And usually it's to Medina Sharif. So once a year I try to get out to Medina with the family.
Right.
And then once a year I go on my own, and then once a year we try to go to another Islamic country. So we've got Islamic food and we do ziyarats, etc. So places like Turkey, Morocco, etc.
Okay, that's fine. The nuclear family, meaning the immediate family we've spoken about, children and being together, having all of these, you know, enjoying yourself together. This does bring about unity and happiness and mutual love, etc. But when they grow up, it doesn't matter how, you know, they've spent their youth. Sometimes they're very close when they're young. But when they grow up is when we have the problems, or when the visa split, or when the parents, possibly somebody passes away and there's the will, or there's a disagreement with the inheritance, or between brothers, families. I think this is where we get the disputes, isn't it?
There are.
Generally, when they're young, there's always family unity. So, you know, people would be out there would be thinking, what's so big about that? That's normal. That's usual. How is this family unity? Family unity is where it gets more difficult. Now you're living in different households. Your brothers, your relatives, maybe there's, you know, some sort of dispute between yourselves or between the spouses or anything like this.
I think every household has that. I don't think there will be a household that you could pinpoint that never has that. It's not that they'd have this problem, it's how they deal with it.
Wow.
That's the important thing. So, you know, when you've got parents who are very wise and very understanding, and this is to the parents out there as well, they can bring people together, right? And they can bring brothers and sisters together. And so there is a disagreement, they make them see the bigger picture, right? There will be disputes. Now, the one thing that you've got to do is, this is the beauty of the Madni environment of Dawat Islami. Well, the one thing we can't do is let go. Yeah? So you're my brother. You're my younger brother, yeah?
Right.
You make a mistake, right? Now, why is it that I've got to hold a grudge against you for the rest of my life? You know, Shabazz Bey did this, yeah? You probably asked me for forgiveness 5 times, yeah? And on the face of it, I've said, yeah, it doesn't matter. But I hold the grudge in my heart. Clean the heart. Just forgive. You know, think people make mistakes.
Harun Bhai, but sometimes it's not as simple or easy as that. It's not just, oh, I've made a mistake. What if I've made a mistake and I continue to make that mistake?
I'll tell you something funny. Somebody said this to me once. There was one child and particularly misbehaving. And I was like, you know, dump it. You know, and you know what the mother of that child said to me?
No, you mean like disown your son?
I said, just leave him. Let him go now. Because he wanted to kind of go off the rails. And,
okay.
Yeah. So I said, and I said, look, we've tried everything with this kid and he's just it's not working.
This wasn't your own kid, it was somebody else.
Somebody else.
Gee.
And, you know, the mother said to me, and honestly, this was many, many years ago. It must have been about 15, 20 years ago. And the mother said, and this is amazing, this is mothers for you as well. She said, beta, what happens is, you know your hand that's working fine? You let it go and do what it wants. But if one hand isn't hang working fine, if it's disabled, what do you do with it? You don't let it hang outside, you put it close to your chest. So if my son isn't right, I'm going to put him close to my chest. And this is parents for you as well. But it teaches you that those that are there, they need more love and affection. Look, why are a lot of these people coming to the Madani environment of Dawat Islam? Why do they fall in love with Amir al-Sunnat? Because when they come to the Madani environment of Dawat Islam, they get love and affection. I've been to Madani kaflas, yeah? I've seen, you know, Mr. 10 men walk through the door. And he, you know, Saturday night, I don't want to eat your food. I want a pizza and I want a kebab. And we're rushing to the tick. We're trying to placate him and everything else, yeah? And come Sunday night, he's been in the Madani kafla for 2 days. He's crying. I don't want to go home. Honestly, he's crying. I said, how can I just stay in the masjid? First time in my life, I found peace and tranquility. And what it was the love and affection that Islamic Brothers, for the first time, somebody was listening to him. For the first time, somebody was treating him well. And now he doesn't want to. And how many thousands of people around the world have changed in the Madani kaflas of Dawat Islami just because they got that love and affection. Yes. And people weren't judging them. You see, what we do in family, Shabazz Bhai, is this. If I make a mistake for the rest of my life, you will judge me by that mistake I make. I've made a mistake, yeah? Forgive me. Allah is the creator. And Allah says, don't be, you know, despair in my mercy. I will forgive all your sins. You sin for 60 years of your life. And the creator supreme is so compassionate and so merciful, yeah, that he forgives you. You know, but that 60 years of sinning, you sit down once, you cry in the court of Allah, you say, Malik, I've made 60 years worth of mistakes. Please forgive me. And Allah forgives. As human beings, we need to learn that trait. And this is what the Madani environment of Dawat Islami teaches us.
Okay, we'll come back to this. Let's inshallah, first go to our daily reminder. My dear viewers, you are watching, mashallah, Rise and Shine. We have our Harun Rashid Sahib, who is with us today. Mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him for giving us time. The topic of the day is family unity. I think many people will be thinking much more that, you know, I've not been speaking. My brother's not been speaking to me for years. Not that I've not been speaking to him. He's not been speaking to me for years. Or, you know, such and such. He's taken my right, my haq. Is what they say. My haq, this is my right. Wait up a room. I know you want to shoot off his
channel. I was just going to say, you were saying it's fault. It's never my fault, is it? It's always
Allah. Let's go to our daily reminder, and then inshallah, we shall come to this. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Sharif, Allama Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi has narrated. It is narrated from Sayyidina Ubayd bin Umair radiyallahu ta'ala an, that the grave says to the deceased, if you were obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal in your lifetime, then today I will be merciful to you. And if you were disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal in your lifetime, then I am a torment for you. I am a home that you will exit from joyously if you were pious and obedient when you entered me. But if you were disobedient and sinful, then you will exit from me ruined. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make our grave garden of paradise. And we stay there in peace whenever we go. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was our daily reminder. The grave, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, the grave. Yes, we shall all be going to our grave. And I was thinking, Harumbai. Now, in fact, this is really important. The reason being is sometimes we have, ever since our parents have passed away, maybe there's a brother or two brothers or all brothers. Sadly, this is something which we all are aware of. You know, there are many people like this, that the brothers are not speaking. It's been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. They're still not speaking. And then suddenly, if that person passes away, we're just so sad. And now it's true, isn't it? You know, there's a time when they're with us, and then there's a time they pass away. Mm-hmm. And as such a situation, you know, we're like, and we're really sad, and we're regretful, aren't we, Harumbai?
You know, Khalid Bhai was telling us something really beautiful on one of the programs. What he's saying is, his Qibla Wali Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, who passed away a couple of years ago now, there were, I think, six or seven brothers. And basically, every so often, because you have kind of disagreements and a bit of thing, and you know, Shaitan plays his part as well. So every so often, they would all gather in a room, they'd thrash it all out, in a jury gilly shikwin, they'd thrash it all out, and then at the end of it, they'd wipe the slate clean, hug each other, and walk out with a clean mind. And how brilliant is that? I mean, you know.
Is
and
that he said, real? Is that exaggerated?
No, that well, Khalid Bey told us. He said, this is what they used to do. They used to regularly sit down, and they used to thrash all their problems out. So if somebody, say for example, out of nine brothers, you and I had a problem. They'd all sit down and said, right, you tell us. And the other brothers who were not involved, they'd probably sort it out and say, you know, you did this, you did that. And then we'd forgive each other and, you know, we say, tika meritu galti hogi, you know. And then that's it.
Yeah, but do you not get somebody who's a bit stubborn? No, I don't accept it. It wasn't my fault. Even if everybody is against me.
You often get many people like that.
Especially if there's nine brothers around by. You'll get all sorts of...
The thing is this.
By the way, we shouldn't be speaking about just those particular brothers, but generally.
But speaking, I'll tell you the psychology of it. Yeah, if there are eight people or nine people in this room, yeah, and they say, okay, Harun, you're wrong, Shabazz was right, yeah, I will not dare say eight people plus you are wrong. I'll say, chalo, theek hai ji, mari to galti hogi, yeah?
But you've the problem had this comes, tarbiyat, you've been through...
No. Even no matter how stubborn you are, it's the psychology of it, not the tarbiyat of it. You know, when you've got eight people against you, they're saying, you know, independently, theek hai, that, you know, you've done wrong, yeah, you will not challenge it. The problem comes here. The problem comes with those people who I describe as fitnabaz who say, no, you're right, stick to your guns. And you get three or four, and that's where the problem comes. That destroys the unity of the family. You know, when brothers and sisters argue as well, some people do it intentionally, some do it subconsciously, some waswasas of the shaitan. But a lot of the time, I always say, I used to have this concept where I say, how can two people have a fight in a room that I'm in? How can they? If I'm mukhlas, if I'm sincere, for the sake of Allah, I won't let two brothers argue. No way. I'll stop them. I will make sure that they don't argue. I will make sure they don't fight. The problem is that if we get people who think, that's the problem often in our...
Well, their own brothers?
Even if it's brothers or relatives. See, family unity, it has to be made with tolerance, patience and forgiveness. Yeah. Now people will make mistakes. You've got to be ready for that. Yeah. And yes, at the time you'll be angry. You're allowed to be angry. I'm not saying, you know, say for example, if I wronged you, you're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be angry for, you know, a few days. And then, you know, I need to get off my high horse and apologize. But even if I don't, that doesn't give you the entitlement to then write me off for the rest of my life. And this is how.
It's no more than 3 days. That's even, you know, du'as are not accepted.
Exactly.
It's a total waste of
and life. This is the problem that we have. We keep that enmity in our hearts over trivial matters, even if they're serious matters. Yeah. What use is it? Just think of the bigger picture. You know, a lot of the time, people turn up to janazas. Yeah? Never spoken to the brother, but they turn up to the janaza. Oh, my, mera pra photo gaya. And this is the brother that lived two streets away from you, but for 20 years, over a little argument about whose wedding who went to or whatever, yeah? Or a bit of money here and there, yeah? And he thought...
So what do you do in such a situation? Let's just say money. Now, when it comes to money, you've not given me my right. So what do I do?
Well, there's two things you can do. I've seen both of them. There's been one type of brother who says, not talking to you again. You denied me my rights. My parents left me. This house was supposed to be split between the two of us. And you have kept it because it was in your name, for example. Yeah. And you've not given me my right, you know. And that's it. I'm never going to speak to you again. That's one way of doing it, isn't it? The other way is, Dikopai, that was my right. If you don't want to give it to me, you'll have to answer to Allah Azza wa Jal. But I'm not going to use that to cause disunity in my family. And I've seen, this might sound fanciful, I've seen not one, not two, but lots of people say that. Jalo, doesn't matter. Diri marziya, yeah? But I'm not going to let the family fall apart because of a house or because of a bit of money. And those are the bigger people. And these are the people who have kept families together. And we've got them all. We can identify, I could identify dozens of those sorts of people, even sat here right now, who have kept their wider families together by having the bigger heart. And this is what's important. You know, there's one person in a family who's got that bigger understanding, that wisdom and that bigger heart, and is willing to forgive and tolerate, yeah? He right. can keep the whole family together. So if somebody's doing wrong, yeah, I'm saying, you know, I'm denying Shabazz by his right. What this bigger brother will do, or this brother will do is say, Tika, Harun's wrong, Shabazz is right, But okay, he's not listening. Take care. Like, and that doesn't mean that you can't say salam dua to each other, you can't go to the rest. Take care, accept it. And they give you that kind of alternative. And I've seen people like that, and it's brilliant. And what happens is, sooner or later, unless I'm really bad, I will realize as well, you know, I've got to die and I've got to give accountability in the court of Allah. Yeah. And sooner or later, people
when you keep seeing that same person, or that person giving salam to you all the time, and, you know, he's being kind to you, then you will feel a bit guilty.
You do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the soft zaban, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that. The soft ledger, the tolerance, the patience, it pays off. I remember one case, there was a brother who'd wronged somebody.
Mm.
And that brother knew in his mind that he had wronged somebody.
Right.
But he wouldn't accept it. Never in a million years would he. If you spoke to him, he would probably bite your head off, yeah? How dare you say I'm wrong, yeah?
Okay.
Now, this is interesting. He had a heart attack. He was only young.
Mm.
He had one of the first things he did was he called the person that he had wronged and he said, please forgive me. He said, please forgive me because I've wronged you. Yeah. And it took a heart attack. It shouldn't do, but it took a heart attack. But he got off the high horse. Now, why should it take a heart attack or an earthquake or for somebody to pass away or somebody to be hospitalized before we realize we cross that barrier that the shaitan set? It's all about barriers. It's all about getting off high horses. Shabazz, if I've made a mistake and you're my brother, yeah, I'm your older brother, yeah? Mm. I've wronged you. Now, if I came to you and I said, I've made a mistake. And even if I'm still stubborn on it,
gee,
wouldn't you forgive me? Say, for example.
I can't really, it's easy for me to say, yes, I'll forgive you, Harun bhai. But when it comes to real life, so, you know, sometimes we find the best of, and this is sad, but I'm trying to be realistic. I can easily say, yes, I'll forgive you. And I hope I will, if, you know, something did happen with me. I hope I will be forgiven. May Allah Ta'ala grant me this ability to be forgiven. But I can't just say, oh yeah, Harun, but I'll forgive you. I don't know.
Let me tell you another little
because
skill.
Because sometimes when you're in the situation, you act differently too. Right.
Let me share with you another little skill that I read in a book, and it's very good.
Mm.
Every skill has to be learnt, yeah? So patience is something you're not going to have naturally. Some people do, they're very patient, but the majority of us, we have to learn this skill. How do you learn patience? By being patient. Be patient over little things, develop your patience, then be patient over the mediocre things, and then you will get the ability to be patient over them. Now, the same way, forgiveness and tolerance. Forgive the little things.
Gee.
You will gradually develop the skill to forgive the greater things. And then people can forgive even greater things. You think, how did he manage to forgive that man? And the reason is they've gradually built up forgiveness. And they've read about forgiveness, and they've read about the fact that Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful, and the one who forgives is going to be forgiven, etc. And you know, all the hadith. And they've instilled this in their mind. We all know the hadith of Mubarakah. It's instilling it in your mind.
Gee.
And now these are skills that you need to develop. If you're making mistakes, say for example, I'm the older brother, yeah, and I keep forgiving you. You knock over this, you do that, you do this, you go and wrong me, you take 50 quid from me, you never give it back, you do whatever. I keep saying, oh, it doesn't matter, Shabazz, but I'll forgive him. When you do the bigger things, yeah, I will still forgive you rather than hold a grudge. And this is a skill that and an art that has to be learned.
All right. Inshallah, Azra, mashallah, jazakallahu khairah for that. Brilliant. So forgiveness is key. Another very important question when it comes to the women of our family, that they're always, you know, arguing, or we have these problems for this reason, we can't get on. Or the wife of somebody, the spouse is saying something to the husband for this reason, you know, there's some sort of enmity. And this is something we find a lot too. What would you say about this?
You see, again, it comes back to the fact that we don't follow the Islamic teachings. The first thing to eliminate from your house, if you want peace and tranquility, is any form of backbiting.
Mm.
Right? Now, when you go home, if your bachuki, I mean, the mother of your children says, well, my sister-in-law's done this, how dare she do this? And you sit there and give an attentive ear. You are creating disunity, not only amongst yourself, and creating bebarkati, which is a restriction in blessings in your home, but you're creating anxiety, animosity in your hearts as well. And you know, every one of our viewers will relate to this. That when you come home and suddenly there's ghibat going on, straight away, after you've finished, it causes you Kalini bin Yuni. It causes you, you think, you know, and that is basically the dire effect of this backbiting that you've done that is now playing on your mind, your heart, and your soul. And your soul saying, you know, what is this? What chabasat is this that you've jumped into a stench? Mm. Yeah. Now that needs to stop. Because this is where it all starts. So when there's a, you know, say
what if somebody has, you know, these emotions are accumulating, they're gathering up in a person and they need to tell somebody. So you need to also be there to listen.
You need to listen. That's a very, very good point you make. Sometimes when we come home, our partners, because I won't just hold it against the Islamic sisters. It's not only the Islamic sisters. It's both. So I won't, you know, say...
Sometimes the brothers are much worse.
Yeah. So whoever it is, sometimes you need somebody to talk to. What happens is this. You need to vent your anger. Mm. Yeah. You need to let some steam off. Now, rather than me letting my steam off you and then us brothers arguing, it's better if I come home to my wife and say, you know, oh, Shabazz Bey did this, this happened, that happened, he shouldn't have done this, and I let my steam out, Tika, I let it all out. After a few hours, I've calmed down, and then I start to think about it logically. And that's a good environment. I shouldn't do ghibat. I'm not condoning ghibat. But if I vent my anger at what you've done wrong, yeah, and I talk to somebody about it, it will at least help me to deal with it and get my anger, rather than us two brothers arguing and steaming. And this is, it's all about, again, dealing with it with wisdom and hikmat and with forgiveness.
Subhanallah, so much to be honest to be speaking about Madhivism of the channel, but sadly, you know, we have to move on. Alhamdulillah, we do have our daily hadith to listen to. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today we're going to listen to a hadith which is related to eating in a marketplace. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has stated, it is bad to eat in the marketplace. Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqa, Allama Mawlana Muhammad, Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, it is makruh to eat on the roadside or in the marketplace. Shaykh Sayyidina Imam Zarnuji rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, if possible, one should refrain from eating junk food and market food as it takes one closer to filth and fraud and distances one from the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. One of its reasons is that the poor and the destitute look desperately at the market food, but cannot afford to buy it. They are disheartened, which results in the removal of blessings from this food. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the reason for not eating from the marketplace is very simple as given in the hadith. It is not a good place because people over there, some are poor, some are rich. Some cannot afford such things. And when we eat those things, their eyes are upon those. It is best that if anyone wants to eat, order it and eat in the four walls of our home. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Haruma, yesterday you did brilliant, didn't you, with the scenario?
Yes, Alhamdulillah, I got it straight away.
MashaAllah. Now today, firstly, we got a riddle. So let's see how you do today.
You must have made it harder today.
And then hopefully we got a
lesson. You must have made it harder today.
Well, it may be really easy. Either it's really easy or it's quite hard.
Yeah, it's one of those. This one, sometimes you can clock him straight
middle,
away.
Yes. So it is, the more you take, the more you leave behind. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I?
The more you take.
The more you take, the more you leave behind. I'm quite happy right now. You're probably thinking, why am I happy? So the more you take, the more you leave behind. Seems contradictory, doesn't it? Like a paradox. How can you take something and then you leave it even more behind?
The more you take, the more you leave behind. And then I'm guessing that what you just said might be a clue that I'm very happy right now.
No, that wasn't a clue, by the way. All the reason right. I'm so happy is because I got it within like a second.
Oh, you did?
When I read it, yeah.
Right.
I got it in like a second.
It's going to be one of those really easy ones.
It is. That's what I mean. Either it's really easy and you get it straight away, or you're going to be thinking about so many things and it's going to be difficult. That's what I think anyway. Let's see. Do you have anything in mind? Anything coming to mind?
But not at the moment. No. The more I take, the more I leave behind. Not at the moment, no.
Do you do any form of exercise, anything?
I do try to do walking, etc. But I'm trying to see if that's a clue as well towards it. And I'm not figuring it out. So sometimes this is what happens with these riddles. Sometimes you can get them straight away. And other times it might be so obvious, but you're not getting it. So sometimes, what was it again? Sorry, the more you take,
the more you leave behind. The more you take, the more you leave behind.
It's going to be obvious, but I can't now. Go on.
No?
Put me out of the
walking. Once you're walking, you're running, what is it you take?
Air, breath, breathe.
The more air you take, the more you leave behind. Are you leaving behind more?
You blow out oxygen and carbon dioxide, so I don't know. Walking. The more you
take. You don't need to walk to take oxygen, do you? Like I'm sitting here, I'm taking oxygen.
I'm just guessing.
Gee. Anything else?
No, walking. I don't know how walking is a clue. Go
sometimes on. You have to do things slowly, Harumbai. Sometimes, you know, you have to do things step by step.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to think of things. You know, things, small steps are good.
The more I
take, the more you leave behind. You got it?
Yeah, steps.
Yes, there you go. The more steps you take, the more you leave behind. Allah, it took some time. You got the answer though. Alhamdulillah, you got the answer. Let's see how the others do, inshallah. Then we'll compare you guys. There's another one. I've got a scenario, Bill. I'm just wondering, should I give you a long one or a short one? Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, a great individual. Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, he was approached by somebody. What happened was this scenario. What is the scenario? There were two individuals, let's just say me and you, person A, person B. We sit down to eat together. You think, come, let's eat. We're traveling, let's eat together. You have 5 pieces of bread. I have 3 pieces of bread. We got this? You have 5 pieces of bread. I have 3 pieces of bread. Now together, which means we have 8 pieces of bread. Now person C also comes. He says, look, can I sit down and eat with you guys? I don't have no food with me. And we say, you know, mashallah, harumba. Yeah, no problem. Sit down and eat with us. So he sits and eats with us. We, you know, break each bread by 3 and we share. We will eat it and then we'll eat the second until we've eaten all 8. And then person C, he thinks, look, I didn't have no bread with me, but look, I've got some money. I've got 8 dirhams here. Here you go. You guys take this 8 dirhams, share it between yourselves and, you know, take care of yourselves. Assalamu alaikum. He leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say that, okay, look, I'm going to take 5 and I'll give you 3 because I had 5 pieces of bread and you had 3. And I'm like, no. He said, share it. We should split it half. Should be 4-4. We both gave him some bread. It should be half. So I go to, that person who's so fortunate, he goes to Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem. The reason he's fortunate is because he's been able to go to Hazrat Ali,
radhiyallahu
anhu. And then Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu says to him that you got 3 dirhams, be happy and just keep 3. Don't contest, just keep 3, be happy with 3. And the question is, Harumba, why? Hazrat Ali says, in reality, keep 3. In reality, you deserve less. why does he actually really deserve less? You've given me three. It was your choice to give me three, but if you wish, you could have given less. Why? Isn't it fair? You had five pieces of bread at first, I had three pieces of bread. You've taken five dirhams, I've taken, let's just say pounds, you've taken 5 pounds, I've taken 3 pounds. Is that not fair?
Because when they split the bread, my share or your share was half and half, so you would have had 4 pieces. No, that wouldn't work.
I don't understand how I would, where you got 4 pieces from.
No.
Allah.
The rate, so there's two of us, you get 4 pieces. You get an extra piece if we split it between us, wouldn't we? Because the third person came along, so we divided the 8 loaves between 3 of us. And because 8 doesn't go into 3, so we split each one into 3 pieces. You said 3 pieces, didn't you?
Yeah.
Each piece of bread. So 3 eighths are 24, and 24, am I on the right lines?
Keep going.
Right, so 3 eighths are 24. And so I said 24, I ended up eating, the one with the 3 ended up eating 8 pieces, which is 3 pieces, so 8. He had 2.5 pieces of bread, didn't he? I don't know. No, go on.
You're on the right lines, Harumai. I was thinking maybe you've heard it before.
No.
And you know the answer. Maybe, you know, you just tried to...
I think the way that it's worked out because of the third person interfering.
But honestly, brilliant. Very good. You're on... This is brilliant. I showed it to Khalid Bhai. I mentioned this to Khalid Bhai and he didn't get anywhere as close as you've got.
So he's had out of 24 pieces,
right?
Split between three, they've had 8 each. Now, normally, if they'd split it between them, they would have had 8 divided by 3.
So they've all eaten 8 each.
They've eaten 8 each.
Yeah.
And he only had...
All together, he only had, split by 3 is 24, so they've all eaten 8.
So they've
and?
He only had 3 pieces to start with, so he's...
And he had 8 3-pieces, which is how many?
3 threes are 9.
I have, yes, 3 divided by 3 is 9. And I've eaten how many from the 9?
8.
8. And I've given that person how many?
1.
1. And you had how many?
8.
You've eaten 8, but how many did you have?
Oh, I had, out of my 5, I had 15, didn't I?
You had 15.
Yeah.
You ate 8, and you gave how much to him?
I gave him 7.
You gave him 7. So you've given him 7, I've given him 1.
Yeah.
So you should get £7, I should get £1.
SubhanAllah, yeah. That's so maths has always been my favourite subject. But yeah, so I've managed to work it out. Yeah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's very good, honestly, very good. Obviously, nothing, you know, just Ali did that. But sure,
The wisdom, yes, and the hikmat of...
And immediate. He said, yeah, look, just be happy with what you've got. That's it.
SubhanAllah.
And that person said, but why? Look, you know, I had 3. And he says, look, he explains that. He goes, you should actually just keep 1. I'll keep 3.
SubhanAllah. So yeah, in strictly speaking, you should have had 1.
Gee.
Allahu Akbar.
Nevertheless, we only have a few minutes. Harun, my last message.
I think we were talking about family unity, and we've been through the immediate family and the wider brothers and sisters. One thing we didn't cover is our communities as a family as well, and the Islamic society generally. And a lot of the time, what really causes problems is backbiting. It's a cancer in our society, and it tears us apart. We spoke about it a few weeks ago. A lot of the time, when we have, we don't forgive. And then there's one other subtle point that I wanted to very briefly touch upon. When it comes to community matters, and especially our masajid, a lot of people, they play politics and they cause disunity in a lot of our masajid as well. And they will make people fight, or they'll take something from here and say it there and everything else. And we see a lot of this. And it's very, very important. And our youth, what happens is when our youth see this, they don't even go near the masajid or anything else because they think they're always fighting. And we're going to lose generations that are going to be away from the masjid. The masjid is the hub of the guidance. So what we need to do is make sure that in the masjid we have unity. Now that means tolerance. برداشت نہیں ہے. You know, I can't tolerate you. If you're doing well in the masjid, I have to throw in a spanner in the works. Or if I'm doing well, somebody has to come and criticize me. And we cause disunity in our masajid especially, and amongst our community as a Muslim brotherhood. We can't do that. We can't afford to do that. Our masjids need to be... If I need to acquiesce, which is basically accept. Right? Then, say for example, Shabazz Bhai is doing something in the masjid here, yeah? And maybe I'm not 100% in agreement with it. We just accept it. Indeed. And just carry on. So that the unity remains. So that,
yes.
You know, and some people's methods are very callous. Mm. You know, so if somebody wants to make a point, they won't make it in a nice way. Yeah? They treat the masajid, nauzubillah min zalik, as they can express their opinions without any repercussions.
Yes.
And they shouldn't do that. So try and, wherever you go, try and bring people together rather than cause disunity.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairah again for your time. MashaAllah, you've given us. My dear viewers, that's Rise and Shine for today. For now, continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.